Bring out the prisoner!
The canvas was whipped back. Michael was hauled out of the truck into harsh sunlight, and he stood before a German major of the Waffen SS, a thick-bodied man wearing a black uniform that bulged at the seams. The man had a fleshy, ruddy face, with eyes that were as white and hard as diamonds, but with none of their luster. He wore a black, flat-brimmed cap, and his brown hair was cropped to the scalp. Around his girth was a holster that wore a Valtar pistol and a baton of ebony rubber. A bone bruiser. Michael glanced around and saw wooden barracks, gray stone walls, dense green treetops beyond them. A new barracks building was going up, and prisoners in striped uniforms were hammering the joints together as guards with submachine guns stood in the shadows. Thick coils of barbed wire formed inner walls, and at the corners of the outer stone walls stood wooden guard towers. He saw an entrance gate, also of wood, and above it the stone arch he'd seen in the framed photograph in Block Suite. A dark haze hung in the air, slowly drifting over the forest. He caught the scent again. Burning flesh.
Eyes front!
A soldier jabbed a rifle into Michael's spine. Another soldier wrenched his coat off, then tore his shirt away so hard the pearl buttons flew into the air. Michael's belt was removed, and his pants lowered. His underwear was pulled down. The rifle jabbed him again in the kidneys. Michael knew what they wanted him to do, but he stared fixedly into the major's colorless eyes and kept both feet on the ground.
Remove your shoes and socks!
Does this mean we're engaged?
The baton came out of the holster, its tip pressed against Michael's chin.
Remove your shoes and socks!
Michael caught movement to his left. He glanced in that direction and saw a block and boots approaching.
Eyes front!
The major delivered a short, brutal blow to Michael's wounded thigh that drove him to his hands and knees.
Baron, I'm afraid you're in our kingdom now. Will you obey Major Crawler, please?
Michael hesitated, pain pounding in his thigh and beads of sweat on his face. A booted foot was planted on his back. Boots leaned his weight on Michael's spine, making him grit his teeth.
You really do want to cooperate, Baron. He's a Russian, Major. You know how stubborn those sons of bitches can be.
We cure stubbornness here.
While Boots held Michael down, two soldiers took off his shoes and socks. Now he was totally naked. His wrists were secured behind him with iron manacles. He was hauled to his feet, then shoved in the direction the soldiers wanted him to go. He offered no resistance. It would only lead to broken bones, and he was still exhausted from his battle with Sandler and the flight through the forest. There was no time to mourn Mouse or to bewail his own predicament. These men meant to torture every shred of information out of him. It was to his advantage, though, that they thought he was an agent of the Soviet Union, because his presence would keep their attention on the east and away from the west. It was a large camp, distressingly large. Everywhere stood barracks buildings, most of green-painted wood, and hundreds of tree stumps testified to the fact that Falkenhausen had been carved out of the forest. Michael saw pallid, emaciated faces watching him through narrow windows with hinged shutters. Groups of skinny, bald prisoners passed, herded by guards with submachine guns and rubber batons. Michael noted that almost all the prisoners wore yellow stars of David pinned to their clothes. His nudity seemed commonplace and drew no attention. Off in the distance, perhaps 200 yards, was a camp within the camp. More barracks enclosed by coils of barbed wire. Michael could see what looked like 300 or 400 prisoners standing in rows on a dusty parade ground. He saw in the distance on his left a squat building of gray stones. From its two chimneys arose columns of dark smoke that drifted toward the forest. He couldn't see where the noise of the heavy machinery was coming from. A change in the wind brought another odor to his nostrils. Not the burnt flesh smell this time, but a reek of unwashed, sweating humanity. In that smell, there were notes of decay, corruption, excrement, and blood. Whatever was going on here had more to do with erasure than confinement. Three trucks came along the road from the direction of the graystone building. Michael stood at the roadside, a rifle barrel against his skull, while the trucks approached. Major Krolla flagged them down and took Block and Boots around to the back of the first truck. Michael watched them as Krolla spoke to Block, and the Major's ruddy face beamed with excitement.
The quality is excellent. In the entire system, Falkenhausen's product stands out as the zenith.
A soldier removed one of the pinewood boxes stacked in the rear of the truck. He began to pry its nails open with his knife.
You'll see, I'm continuing the standards of quality you so strongly demanded, Colonel.
Michael saw Block nod and smile, pleased with the ass-kissing. The box's last nail was popped open, and Krolla reached in.
You see? I defy any other camp to match this quality.
Krolla was holding a handful of long, reddish-brown hair. A woman's hair, Michael realized. It was naturally curly. Krolla grinned at Block, then reached deeper into the box. This time he came up with thick, pale blonde locks.
Ah, isn't this one lovely? This will make a grand ring, worth its weight in gold. I'm pleased to tell you that our production is up 37%. Not a trace of lice in the whole lot. The new delousing spray is a godsend.
I'll tell Dr. Hildebrandt how well it works.
Block looked into the box, reached down, and brought out a handful of gleaming, coppery-colored hair.
Oh, that's just magnificent!
Michael watched the hair fall back from Block's fingers. It caught the sunlight, and its beauty almost broke Michael's heart. The hair of a woman prisoner. Where was her body? He caught a hint of the burn smell, and his stomach lurched. These men, these monsters, could not be allowed to live. He would be damned by God if he knew these things and did not tear the throats out of the men who stood before him, smiling and talking about wigs and production schedules. The cargo bays of all three trucks were loaded with pinewood boxes, loaded with hair shaved off skulls like fleece off slaughtered lambs. He could not let these men live. Michael took a step forward, brushing past the rifle barrel.
Halt!
Krolla, Block, and Boots turned to look at him, hair still drifting down into the box.
Halt!
The soldier drove the barrel into Michael's ribcage. Such pain was nothing. Michael kept going, his wrists manacled behind him. He stared into the colorless eyes of Major Krolla, and he saw the men flinch and step backward. Michael felt the fangs aching to slide from his jaws, his facial muscles rippling to give them room.
Halt, damn you!
The soldier hit him on the back of the head with his rifle barrel, and Michael staggered but kept his balance. He was striding toward the three men, and Boots stepped between them and Colonel Block. Another soldier armed with a submachine gun rushed at Michael and slammed him in the stomach with a gun butt. The soldier lifted his weapon to strike him across the skull, but Michael struck first, bringing his naked knee up into the man's groin. An arm locked around Michael's throat from behind.
Hold him! Hold the bastard!
Krolla lifted the baton and brought it down. Michael hung on the edge of unconsciousness, fighting against the change. Black hair was about to burst from his pores. He could smell the wildness in his skin, taste its musky power in his mouth. If he changed here, lying in the dust, he would be cut open and examined by German knives. Every part of him, from organs to teeth, would be tagged and immersed in bottles full of formaldehyde to be studied by Nazi doctors. He wanted to live to kill these men, and so he battled against the change and forced it back down. Perhaps a few black wolf hairs had emerged from his body, on his chest, the insides of his thighs, and his throat, but they rippled away so fast that no one noticed them. And even if one of the soldiers had seen, he would have thought his eyes were playing tricks. Michael lay on his belly, very close to passing out.
Baron, I think you're in for a very rough visit with us.